Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can't Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I am your host, CEO of Literal Humans, Paul David. And I'm joined today by Matej Svancer, or Matthew, as he likes to be called, or Matt. We're talking today about building an open social web. And Matthew is the founder and CEO of OpenVibe. Just by way of introduction, I just want to say thank you for joining, Matej. Really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much for, inviting me. Thank you.
Of course. So going to introduce you a bit here. So OpenVibe is on a mission to unify the decentralized social web by bringing together platforms like Mastodon, Blue Sky, Nostr, and Threads into one user-controlled experience. Matthew's passion for tech and decentralization has driven him to create a platform that empowers users to connect freely without the constraints of traditional social media networks. That's a very hot topic, so we're going to dig into that. And from major outlets such as TechCrunch and CNET, and it's backed by investors like Automatic. Recently, it's raised $800,000 to further expand and improve the platform. Congratulations on that raise, Matej.
Thank you.
So we're excited to have you today. Thank you for joining. And let's jump right in. First things first, let's set the scene for our audience. We'd love you to just explain what the decentralized social media landscape looks like, and why is it so important?
So I think in context of social media, decentralization basically means that not a single company or person is dictating your social experience there. So you are in control of your data, how your feed looks like, or even how the whole app UI looks like. And I think that's pretty important nowadays, especially.
Yeah, that's incredibly important. Why do you think it's gaining, very much to that point, why do you think it's gaining so much traction these days?
Yeah, I think lately there has been some events when people are starting to basically waking up to the risk of centralized platforms. So there's been a Reddit limiting the community moderators, what they can do, TikTok getting banned and unbanned in the US, and of course, Elon Musk firstly buying Twitter and basically closing it up to external developers, and then adjusting the algorithm and adjusting the AI. So the Grok AI in Twitter cannot say that Elon Musk or President Trump are spreading misinformation and maybe suppressing some journalists and overall the political involvement. So I think people are realizing that it's really a bad idea to have one single person kind of dictating what you can do and cannot do on a social media where billions or at least hundreds of millions of people are.
And just a really broad question for you, in terms of like the sentiment around social media, like it seems that like it's shifting a lot lately. Like I saw Australia has like banned, social media for young people under a certain age. And I just hear about a lot of people just anecdotally getting off of social media. They're saying, I'm done with it, and kind of putting all of social media into one, bad basket. So what do you respond to folks like that? And how does that connect to OpenVibe?
Yeah, I quite understand this topic and this discussion, because I think the legacy social media is, they have quite a bad track record, I would say, and it's getting worse every day. And I think open social web is trying to change this. And a lot of people that are trying to quit social media eventually ends up on the open social web, because it's quite different. It's same, but on the other hand, quite a different experience to the classic social media people are used to. So yeah, I understand this trend a lot.
Yeah, it's good that you're starting from that place of like empathy and understanding where users are coming from. To that point, want to dive into the product of OpenVibe a little bit and just understand, how does it work specifically and kind of what makes it different from other decentralized platforms?
So I think the important thing to say is that OpenVibe is not another platform or another protocol, another social app. It's a client that is responding to the fragmentation of this new space. So there are platforms or protocols like Mastodon, Blue Sky, and others, but they are separate. They don't talk to each other. And if you are a new user coming from Twitter, for example, you firstly have to choose, am I going to Mastodon or Blue Sky, or am I going to set up multiple accounts across all of these different platforms and having multiple apps. And OpenVibe is a response to this. So we want users to have one single app where they can have all the interesting people and ideas they want to follow, and they don't have to think about, am I on the right platform or is someone missing because it's on a different platform? We want users to have a single place to go.
That makes sense. And would love if you could walk us through, like, what's the average, you know, sort of user journey for the platform? What is it? What is it? How does it flow?
Sure. So you download OpenVibe. It's an app on iOS and Android. You log into your networks that you already have, Mastodon, Bluesky, Threads, Noster. You can, you know, add a new network that you are not familiar yet. And that's basically it. You are connected and you have one unified timeline where you can see all the people you are following. You have a trending or discovery timeline where you can see different people from the different communities of the different platforms, and you can kind of explore this whole open social web space and find interesting ideas and people to follow.
Amazing. And talking about your features, so you've got this great cross-posting feature that you know, I'd love to hear how that enhances the user experience and anything else you can share about specific features that kind of set it apart from other platforms.
Yeah, so I think the two most important features are the unified timeline, as I said, and then the cross-posting feature as well. And so the cross-posting is basically that you don't, again, have to think about, am I reaching the right audience or the whole audience? You just type a post, you send it, and it's automatically cross-posted to all the platforms that you have connected. And so, again, we want people to don't really think about specific platforms or technical things. That's all in the background, and that's all ethos of the app. You just use it, you just use it as you are used to with other socials, and it's the whole open social web. There are multiple platforms on the background, but you don't just have to think about it.
I'd be curious, like, what were your conversations with the existing social media platforms that you're working with? I assume there's some sort of integration that needed to happen. How did you convince them to, you know, take part in this aggregation?
Yeah, that's basically the cool thing about it, that we are connecting the open social web. And so we don't have to ask for permission. That's the great idea here. That's the open social web is kind of similar to email. And so you can build an email client without going to Gmail and iCloud and asking them, hey, can I build an email client? Because it just runs on the open protocol. And that's similar to the open social web projects. We are building on a foundation that's open, and we know that there is not a one guy that can stop it. And again, that's back to the decentralization and the whole ethos of this open social web.
Yeah, that's an important point, because I think maybe a lot of users don't understand, you know, the difference between the open social web and those that are closed, as you mentioned in your intro, and just like distinguishing those two. So thanks for clarifying that. Relatedly, you know, you just raised a bunch of money. Hopefully, you know, good luck, good job with that. It's a really hard funding environment to raise. And you've got some big funders on your roster, Automatic. That's a really big one, obviously. I want to talk about your growth strategy. What is it? How are you going to get more users in a decentralized space, especially after that recent funding round?
Yeah, so OpenVibe, it's still early days for the app. And so right now we have some big open social platforms integrated, but we want to integrate more projects. So that's something we are working on. And then we want to really focus on the user experience. We don't have any advertisers. We don't have to, you know, think about any other specific groups. We only have our users. And so what we are thinking about is how to streamline the onboarding process for people that are not in the open social ecosystem yet. So they are maybe coming from Twitter or Facebook or any other places, to basically have them experience this space as easily as possible. And then also improving on how users can explore new type of content. So having algorithms are controversial, but we think we can build a great algorithms that can be customizable. So users can say, hey, today I want to see more sports topic or more political content, or today is a special event that I want to hear more about. And we can adjust these algorithms based on the user feedback, again, giving more power to the users themselves.
Nice. And have you set any growth goals for, you know, the rest of the year in terms of like new users or engaging existing users, anything like that?
Well, right now we have about 80,000 downloads and we have like 40,000 active users. And we would definitely like, of course, to raise this number. And at the end of the year, we would like to be in the hundreds of thousands of active users.
Amazing. So would you say that's your biggest growth challenge right now, is just getting active users?
Well, I think the good thing is that the whole open social space is growing and we are growing with it, but we think we can accelerate even like beyond the growth of the open social web itself, because we are kind of unique in combining this whole space. And I think we are doing a great job here, but we can do much better. And that's where we are focusing now.
And talk to me about that. I mean, we're a growth agency. We work with a lot of, you know, tech for good, you know, tech brands that are trying to educate users to get them to understand their products and, you know, onboard into their products. Do you have a lot of education you have to do to, you know, educate users about decentralized, you know, social networks, or is it pretty easy? Do they get it? They're easy to onboard.
Yeah, that's quite a challenge here. And it's also a challenge to decide whether to educate users, or rather how much educate them versus letting them explore and learn things along the way. Because I feel like the open social web is quite technical. It was, you know, designed and built by really technical people skilled in decentralization, encryption, and all of this technical stuff. But we have to bring this open social web to more normal users. And so I think simplifying is the way to go here. And that's what we are trying to do. We are trying to take all the technical stuff, get it away in our backend, and only show the easy to use interface to the user. And I think we have a job there to do and make it even more simple. And that's where we are focusing on.
Yeah, that you know, user education piece is critical. And it's one that, you know, I think a lot of startups struggle with in the early days because they're so focused on product. But you kind of have to realize that, you know, content and you know, other pieces are also your product, because a lot of that fuels the onboarding to your product. So it's good that you're focused on that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, you know, a lot of experimentation as well, and a lot of hearing the feedback from the users. And it's also important to not get stuck in the echo chamber, because right now our existing users are already the users of the app, and they obviously enjoy the app because they are the users. But we don't know how the potential users feels, that they are maybe coming from Twitter or other places, but maybe they don't arrive because the onboarding is too complex. So we have to balance the feedback from existing users, but also think about the potential users that cannot give us feedback because they maybe don't know about us, or it's too technical for them, etc.
Appreciate that. We'd love to dig a bit more into your personal experience and just kind of what inspired you to create OpenVibe, and you know, want to hear a bit about how your entrepreneurial journey has shaped the company.
Sure. So actually, I was a full-time creator before. I made videos on YouTube. I was really active on Twitter and other socials as well, but the two pillars were YouTube and Twitter. And so I really was into this. And originally, we started building a Twitter client to make Twitter more open back in the day when Jack Dorsey, the original founder of Twitter, was the CEO. But after Elon Musk bought Twitter, it didn't make sense anymore. And so we've moved to the open social web or ecosystem where we can actually build what we wanted. And so that was an interesting shift we had, and something that really influenced, you know, the future of the company.
That's great. And was there like a pivotal moment that kind of made you certain about building OpenVibe?
I think the first thing was being a creator and experiencing the dependence on specific platform and their monetization and their algorithm and everything like that. So the centralization, basically, that was why we started up building this new, you know, app in the first place, firstly on Twitter. And then Elon Musk buying the Twitter and making it a one-man show was definitely a thing that moved us to the open social web, where we don't have to rely on anyone.
It's amazing how those, you know, rather unfortunate events in like one part of the sector can catalyze, you know, advancements and innovations in other parts of the sector and open up opportunities for other people. So it's good that you responded in the way that you did.
Exactly. I think we would eventually get there, but this just accelerated it. So it was basically probably a good thing to experience.
Yeah. Would you curious to hear what you've learned about your users, you know, like in the time that you've had them? Hopefully you're doing a good amount of like user testing and audience research and things like that. But what are like two or three things you've learned from your users that have shaped, you know, how you build the company and the product?
Yeah. So the good thing about building a social app is that your users can just, you know, take you in a post and tell you what they are thinking. So the primary channel of feedback we are getting. And yeah, it's interesting. And the feedback is usually users from the US because they are experiencing, you know, the political shift here, and they are trying different alternatives. And as I mentioned before, it's really interesting for us that we are getting a feedback from the existing user base, that they want more kind of niche stuff that they are missing in the app. But on the other hand, we know that we are building something pretty unique and that we have to think a bit outside of the box, maybe something that the user base don't think about yet. And we can introduce a new, really original features there. And so we are really balancing the feedback from the users with kind of the bigger mission that we are thinking about, where maybe the user feedback is not there yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. And like, what an opportunity, like, to have that, you know, it's like instant. I'm sure it can be a lot, the feedback, but like, you know, how do you parse it? Like, how do you take in so much feedback, I'm sure, pretty quickly. How do you decide like what feedback to act on, what should rise to the top, what to even not consider? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, it's pretty hard because, as you said, we are getting like, I would say, hundreds of feedbacks a week, definitely. And so, yeah, separating what we have to do, what we want to do in the future, and maybe something we will not do in the foreseeable future is quite hard. And we struggled with this at the beginning, especially because we were not used to this. But now, yeah, we are trying to balance, and we know that we have certain amount of time for building features that the current user base wants. And we are prioritizing based on how many users wants this specific feature, how much feedback we've got on this, versus building kind of new things that are not even being discussed in the community yet. So yeah, we have to balance this, especially as a small team, as a startup.
Of course you do. Well, you mentioned new things. We always like to ask if there's any new updates or product announcements that you want to preview live on the show here. Anything you're excited about that you can mention?
Yeah, we are working on two, I would say, pretty interesting integrations right now. So in addition to, you know, Blue Sky, Mastodon, and others we already have, we will also add RSS support. So that means you can read your favorite blog or, you know, news articles in the app as well. And also Tumblr, which is quite an old but still pretty interesting and, you know, in some specific really popular social platform with hundreds of millions of users. And so Tumblr will be in OpenVibe pretty soon as well. And we are quite excited about it.
That's exciting. Cool. Thank you for previewing those on the show. Really appreciate it. We'd love to take us into the quickfire questions. So these are your short, snappy answers, whatever comes into your gut. And it gives our audience a chance to know a little bit more about you as an individual. So first things first, I know you're busy with OpenVibe, but if you could found another tech startup, what would it be and why?
Probably biotech. Because I would love to help people, you know, live better lives, but I have like zero experience or education in this field, so it would probably never happen, but it's a super interesting, you know, area.
Yeah, thank you. I always say climate tech is mine, obviously, because the scale of the problem, but yeah, hopefully you'll see me in climate tech one day, even though I know nothing about climate science, obviously. So what tech invention makes you the most excited right now?
Well, right now, you know, it's obvious, but probably AI, it's the biggest right now, and I'm a little bit concerned about it, but I'm also optimistic that it could help. Probably, like, you know, especially biotech, climate, and these other areas, I think it would be interesting.
Cool. You might have answered the next question, but is AI the tech that you're most concerned about, or is there something else?
Tech-related, yeah. I would say, overall, I'm concerned about, like, concentration of power in, you know, AI, broadly in tech, in politics. I would say it goes hand in hand here.
Yeah, definitely. Who's a literal human who's been integral to your career journey? Someone you want to shout out?
Yeah, probably my parents, because I was trying to build something from a really young age. I was experimenting with different ideas, and they were letting me experiment and fail and succeed. And it was really important, I think, for the future of me.
Yeah, it's always great to hear stories about parents who supported your entrepreneurship and your learning. So thanks for sharing that. And what's one inspirational quote that stuck with you throughout your journey in tech?
Probably that tech should like empower people and not trap them. And that's, I think, the fundamental of the internet, like being an open ethos where anyone can do and build basically anything. And I think social media got off track here, and we are trying to put it back into people's hands.
Yeah, there's been talk about, you know, the, I don't know if you've heard about this phrase, but the in-shitification of social media.
Yeah.
Have you? What's your take on that? Yeah, you must have a good take on that.
Yeah, I think like that the social media is closed. I think that's the part of the problem. And because the social media is closed and you are dependent, you have all the friends in this one app and you basically cannot leave it because you've lost all those connections. That's why the big platforms can do what they are doing. And I think if they were open and there will be more competition and you can leave easily and take your community with you, you will get much better products as a user because competition is always good in these areas.
Absolutely. One important thing that I forgot to ask you about, which is moderation. So like, how do you all think about moderation? You know, you're decentralized, you're open, but I know it's a big debate in the social media space.
Yeah, it's a really difficult topic. And fortunately, we don't really have to solve it ourselves because we are aggregating those different projects and they can decide what is the best approach for them and for their users. And again, that goes for the decentralization that, you know, everyone has to solve each piece of the social experience. And so here in the open social web, you can join the platform or even like sub servers of the platform that kind of works for you in terms of what is good for you in moderation, what you want to tolerate, what you don't want to tolerate. So I think it's bad to have one rule for everyone. And I think here in open social web, you can choose what fits you best. And that's great in my opinion.
That's great. Thank you for that. Well, this has been a fantastic conversation, Monte. I really appreciate it. And, you know, it's great to hear that Open Web is, you know, shaping the future of decentralized social media and giving users a bit more control and freedom than ever before. You know, hopefully that's the future of social media. And for our audience, if you're curious to learn more about Open Vibe, you know, its vision and its strategy, you know, what they're doing, and get on the platform yourself, you can check it out at openvibe.social. And anywhere else you'd like folks to check you out on the interwebs, Monte?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, openvibe.social would be probably the best start. Yeah, as you mentioned, there are also some articles on TechCrunch and others if you want to read them. And then just, you know, hang out with us on Blue Sky, Mastodon, and all the other networks that we support.
Nice. Very cool. Well, really appreciate your time today, Monte. I know you're busy building a startup and raising money and all the things that we ask founders to do these days. But yeah, it's been great to share your journey with our listeners and to share a bit more about what you're doing to build the, you know, the future of decentralized social media. So really appreciate that. Thank you again.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the invitation. And yeah, I'm looking forward to how we can help shape the future.
Yeah, thank you. And for our listeners, thanks for tuning in. As always, please, please leave a review if you've enjoyed the episode. It really helps us bring amazing guests like Monte onto the show. So thank you so much, Monte. Appreciate it.
Thank you.